Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And guys, we've managed to go a whole week without a manager getting sacked. Incredible, I know. Incredible, I know. But
still a lot of clubs without a manager. We did have a manager appointed this week.
We did have a manager appointed, but there's still a lot of clubs. I had this conversation with somebody the other day when I was down at the football that I play during the week. There's a lot of clubs that need a manager.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen, Dean Smith off to a difficult start, let's say. But
what a start to have, though.
I mean, yeah, what talk about that as your first game. We'll talk about them in a bit. But some of the newer managers in the league are really starting to have an impact. Goodness me, what a good job Unai Emery is doing at Aston Villa. We'll talk about them a bit later on as well. We'll talk about our game weeks. We'll talk about our scores, how we're getting on so far. Because at time of recording, it's Sunday night, 8:30. Thank you for being with us. There is a game on Monday, right? Leeds versus Liverpool still to play. So I'm again here on an FPL Family live stream being pretty happy because my team haven't played.
You get the pleasure this week.
Let's see. As Wilco is saying in the chat, Liverpool didn't ruin our weekend. It's a good thing, Wilco. It's a good thing. Are Arsenal bottling the league, Sam?
Yeah.
Are Arsenal bottling the league?
Bottled it.
Get your Spurs goggles off already.
No, sorry. Sorry, Arsenal fans. Genuinely, but if you look at it right now, I think they've bottled it.
Did you see the conversation after the Forest game, the United game, between Roy Keane and Gary Neville post-match, where Gary Neville was saying, well, listen, if they finish second, that's still a really good season. And Keane was just like, you're having a laugh. Terrible season. If they finish second, would finishing fifth last year and second this year, would that be a success, or would points clear to being second be a bottle job?
I think it's a bottle job. Genuinely, it was a bottle job last year, and it feels like it's about to happen again. I think if Man City didn't have the game in hand, if we were level on games, I'd say it's not over. They're still in the hot. They're still in the best place.
Mm.
They've got to beat Man City in 33, and if they do, it's theirs. But because Man City have that game in hand on them, which, by the way, I can't see them. I just can't see where Man City drop points, even against Arsenal. The way they are so good at getting results when they need to get results.
It's Pep, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
It's just, that's their mentality.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many points, like we did it a couple of seasons ago when we were some points ahead. Don't matter.
No.
You can be 20 points ahead and they will still relentlessly hunt you down, and they know how to do it and effectively do it. They're just a machine.
Well, that's
just
the difference, isn't it? Is that, you know, like today, Arsenal 2-0 up, coasting. Yeah. Somehow they've let West Ham back in that game. And that's the sort of mistakes that you don't see from Man City in these closing moments of seasons. Man City, they make mistakes. Of course, every club does. But they tend to make those earlier on in the season. And by the end, they're just in that. They're a machine and they're well-oiled and they know what they're doing and they do it.
Weird from Arsenal again, wasn't it? Second week in a row where they've come out and absolutely been phenomenal for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
like against us and against West Ham. Absolutely brilliant. Tearing teams to shreds. And it's almost like they go 2-0 up and we're like, okay, right, job done. So we'll sort of sit back and be a bit complacent now and concede the next goal. And 2-0, as our friend Mars will tell you on Twitter, difficult score 2-0, right? Because if you then concede there and get to 2-1, it's like, oh, okay, well, the momentum's with the other side.
And they should have gone 3 because of the penalty.
Yeah, because of the penalty. There's got to be, and guys, get in the comments, if you've had more than one penalty miss in your FPL team over the last couple of weeks, because we've had Mo, we've had Saka,
Tony.
We've had Tony. There's been a lot of penalty misses going on right now. I'm not actually convinced that that Saka is going to take the next one. I must admit, I wasn't sure he was going to take the one today, because Gabriel Jesus picked up the ball for a while, didn't he? And they've done this before, Arsenal. We've seen it with other teams where the penalty take is kind of protected a little bit by his teammates, because Jesus picks up the ball. Everyone's kind of bantering him and giving him a word in the ear, like you would do for any penalty taker. And then right at the last minute, passes it to the actual penalty taker, which is Saka.
Mm.
But then misses it. And would that have been for 3-0?
3-1.
It would have been 3-1.
Because they already scored their penalty.
Crucial,
so that would
right?
have taken, that would have probably killed off West Ham, because that moment where they got 2-1, it was like, right, okay, we've got some momentum. Jarrod Bowen remembered he was a professional footballer. And they were playing quite well. And had Saka scored at that point, I think it would have killed the West Ham momentum, and Arsenal probably would have gone on to win the game.
Yeah.
The fact that Saka misses the penalty, and by the way, from an FPL perspective,
big swings, right? Because that would have been a Martinelli assist as well.
Yeah, but it's so frustrating, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of us kept Saka because we thought that he was, you know, less at risk of rotation, maybe than Martinelli because of the Trossard factor and because he was on penalties, and obviously that's another element to the game. Only to then find that since we've all sold him, Saka's got nothing. Literally today, nothing. And
Martinelli on another level, isn't it, in a minute.
Yeah.
He's just on another level.
I want to swap him over so badly. It was such a mistake on Wildcard.
Absolutely. Talking of players on another level, we're going to talk about a certain Mr. Ollie Watkins later on today. Oh. Goodness me. I mean, he was a good player before, but what a transformation under Unai Emery. What a player that Unai Emery has unearthed here. His hold-up play for a player that's not... He's not massive. He's not an Ibrahimovic. He's not an Ibrahimovic sort of player.
No,
he's not Harry Kane.
Huge, no.
His hold-up play is sensational. He's off the ball running so, so good. And the players around him, like Buendia, who I thought was brilliant at the weekend, Jacob Ramsey, etc., they all know, they're all completely in sync at the minute. Unai Emery doing a really, really good job.
I liked
job.
What Ollie Watkins said in his post-match interview. Somebody asked him about, you know, how does it feel playing? And he's like, it's great because the gaffer's told everyone.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
When you look, get your head up, look for Ollie.
Yeah.
And so from an FPL perspective, hello, Ollie
loving
Watkins,
that.
Because that's exactly what you want, yeah. Isn't it? When the manager's told everyone else to look for your player, great stuff.
Yeah, we've known it for a little while. So, Sam, we're going to talk about our teams. We'll talk about how we've got on so far in game week 31. In fact, we're going to start with that. Then we'll talk a little bit about some of the games that we've just seen this weekend. Then we will dive in to the chip chat. We will go into the free hit 32 chip scenario. Both of us, both you and I, are planning to play the chip. Have you hit it already, or are you just... waiting the free hit chip?
I haven't hit it yet, but only because I've been busy. I will do it today.
Oh, okay, yeah, me too. Yeah. I think I'll do it, you know, more or less, if not on stream, then after the stream. So yeah, both of us on the free hit for 32. We've both put together some drafts. There are some common players in there, unsurprisingly, but there are also some interesting players that I've picked that you haven't.
Who you got?
Some interesting differential. Well, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Let's say hello to a few people. Brian Springer, as always, is here. Brian, very nice to see you. Simon is in. Nigel the Crab. Howdy, took a minus 28. Simon, stop it, mate.
No,
stop
don't.
Me.
Never change.
Why?
Simon, never change. Never change. I love this about Simon. I literally love that Simon is just like, I don't care what you all think. I'm going by what I think.
If Simon got 80 plus points this week, fair enough. But minus 28. Need to check I'm not hallucinating. I'm like the Spice Girls, all about the hits. All right, Si. All right, mate. I don't know why you've done a minus 28. Are you just having a bit of fun now? It's a common towards the end of the season.
Maybe he's got no free hit for next week. Maybe he thought, set my team up now.
Who knows? Who knows? Duncan Crawford, another one of our long-term patrons and member of the channel. Amazing. But this is the problem, you see. All the other patrons are in the Slack. They're in the chat here tonight, sort of encouraging him on. I'm like, Simon, stop. What are you doing?
Don't change, Si. Ever.
Dave M is in. He says, we love Ollie Watkins. Yeah, man, the kid is on fire at the minute. Absolutely brilliant.
There Scott, was once a time when you didn't like Ollie Watkins. I remember it.
Well, listen, a few seasons ago, I thought he was seriously lacking in the final third. I think his build-up play has always been pretty good. But I think final third, end product, I think was questionable. Honestly, it was questionable. Even earlier on this season, I think it was questionable under Steven Gerrard. I agree. But you look at the strikers in the past that Unai Emery has coached, made a focal point and brought on in terms of their final third end product. I think Ollie Watkins always had the right ingredients, the raw ingredients. He just never had a decent coach that could kind of bring that out of him or a coach that could do that with him. But Unai Emery's done it. He's absolutely done it. He's made him into a proper player. John Robert Knight is in. Harlow went off at half-time. He did. We're going to talk about that a bit later on. But the damage was done. The damage was already done. And they've got some pretty big European nights coming up, haven't they, City? So they will want him for the second leg against Bayern Munich. They're not going to be taking any complacency into that second leg, even though they're 3-0 up, which, by the way, was amazing. I've not seen many better games than that or performances better than that this season. City were electric. And the Rodri goal in the Champions League was so, so good. Martin Treacy Swartz is in. Watkins is on fire. He certainly is. He certainly is. Ed Wardinho, Ollie is much better. A lot of Watkins love in the chat tonight. Understandably so.
Deserved.
Much better at timing his runs. Yes, he is. Absolutely. He's running at the right times now.
He said he worked on that, didn't he? He said that was another thing he said in his post-match that he'd been working on was not only making the run and the right run, but also timing it. So yeah, he was leaving at the right time, so he's not to be caught offside.
But it's a chemistry thing. Like, I can't tell you how good, how impressed I was with Jacob Ramsey. And I think Ramsey, Buendia and John McGinn.
Did he go off injured or did I imagine that? I think Jacob Ramsey might have gone off injured.
Maybe, don't know, maybe. But the three of them, you've got Ramsey and John McGinn and Buendia. They all complement each other so well. You've got the kind of flair of Buendia and the grit of McGinn and the sort of, I don't know, the sort of, what would you say about Ramsey? The technical ability of him. He's not really got flair, tons of flair like Buendia or loads of grit like John McGinn, but he's kind of in the middle there. He's not an enforcer, but he just keeps that ball moving. Well, really good.
Well, he's the youngest, isn't he? He's a bit like, I don't know, there's something about young players. They want to impress. They go out there, they work really, really hard, and that's what Ramsey does.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. A comment from Duncan. Thank you, Duncan, for the comment. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Duncan, mate. Looking forward to the biscuit buffet at Final Fantasy Fest. That gives you some insight into my childhood with video games. Fantasy Football Fest. Yes, Duncan, we're looking forward to seeing you there as well, mate.
With biscuits.
Samar95 is in. We've got, who else? John W. Harry is in. FPL Harry, how are we doing, Harry, mate? Nice to see you. And a whole host of you in Lukey Boy 123, Alex Moreno as well was excellent. Yes, he was. He's come on leaps and bounds, hasn't he? Under Unai Emery as well. Lots of Villa chat, I assume, Sam, because they are playing very well at the moment. Let's dive straight in though with our teams, because we've got so much chip free hit 32 conversation to have later on with drafts. I want to get straight on with our teams. Let's go to yours first. You still have got Trent Alexander-Arnold to play, which was your transfer in this week, which I kind of like, by the way. A very, very small green, a very, very small red arrow, I should say, 58 points. You're about par, basically. So depending 4K, on what depending it? On what Trent does, it could be green if
Trent's
he gets a clean sheet.
Trent's going to get a clean sheet and a hat trick.
Hopefully.
I don't really
Nothing would please me more.
Right, I don't know why I've got Trent Alexander-Arnold in my team. I waited for news on Rashford. And then we had that comment from Ten Hag after the first leg of the Europa League saying he hopes to have Rashford back for the second leg, which is on the 27th, I think. And therefore
it's ahead, middle of next week, yeah.
Yes, but therefore ahead of 33. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting then, because if he's going to be back, would want him for 34.
He started to give a little bit more context to his back for the run-in, out for a few games, which he'd said a few days before. Yes. And I think a lot of FPL managers therefore went, all right, well, I'll bench Rashford then, because I think, particularly if you're free hitting in 32, where you can get rid of him anyway, he can come back in for 33, where presumably on the back of the second wave of Ten Hag comments, he'll be back. You'd think. We don't know.
We don't know, but I think those comments basically made me go, all right, well, I'm going to hold you then, because as you say, the free hit was coming into play anyway. So I was like, well, I can buy myself a little bit more time here. And by the time I've got another deadline to contend with, I'll know if Rashford's played against Sevilla. And if he hasn't, hopefully we'll get some more insight from Ten Hag as to when we expect him to be back.
Sure.
So fine. So basically that left me with a bit of a quandary with my transfer, because as we discussed before, I am going to free hit in 32. And that meant if I didn't make a transfer, it was going to be lost. And I didn't want to lose a transfer. I wanted to make sure that I had used them all properly.
And who did you take out for Trent then?
Chilwell.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was going to bench Chilwell anyway this week because I thought that Brighton would beat them.
Yeah.
So the plan was he was going to be sitting on the first sub spot anyway. Or one of those sub spots. Actually, probably Mings would have gone first sub. Blimmin' annoyed I benched him, but never mind.
Yeah.
So I just thought, do you know what? I really don't like what I'm seeing at Chelsea at the moment. I just I don't like them defensively at all. They don't look solid. And I'd rather bring in Trent, knowing he had the double in 34. So I was basically giving myself an extra double game week player. 4:34 and nice fixture this week against Leeds, where whilst I think Leeds probably will score at Monday night or Monday night at Elland Road, I also think that Trent could get attacking returns in that game. And therefore, I was like, do you know what? Let's go for a little bit of a rogue...
Go for it.
A rogue Liverpool punt.
Ah, Trent's never a punt, is he? Come on. I mean, he's never a punt.
I said in my Instagram post about it, it was kind of like, where have you been? Welcome back, long time no see. Because it feels like it's been such a long time since I've looked at my team and seen Trent Alexander-Arnold in there. Because even earlier on in the season, I had Robbo for it, for the part of it.
Where else in your in your team though?
So that's what I did.
Ollie Watkins is the 16 pointer. Happy with that. So Haaland, the right captain.
Haaland, Grealish, good all stuff. Good.
Yeah.
I feel super frustrated with the Brighton midfielders, which I think a lot of people will though, because again they both played well, but no returns. Again for them, and it does seem to be going that way at the moment, but I'm not obviously doing anything with them. They're going to stay through the double game week.
Are you not with McAllister though? Because what did you make of his performance? He obviously set, he played deeper, didn't he?
And which we know can happen.
Yeah, but not only did he play deeper, but he was bloody good when he played there, and he was almost like quarterback style dictating the play from the centre. Now he's got penalties and he's not exactly ridiculously expensive, so I'm not suggesting for any second at all that we go out and sort of knee-jerk sell him because he's sitting a bit deeper. He's still a good asset, in my opinion. Mm. But I just wonder, not being in that 10, his underlying stats are going to be a bit...
Maybe. And I think...
downward trending.
For example, with Max's team, who is going to be wildcarding going into 33, he at the moment has a Stupinian and Mitoma, and I think you'll want the third Brighton player for the double.
Yeah.
But there is more of a question now as to whether you automatically go McAllister. Like, I think for him, potentially going for March might be a better option. Or if Evan Ferguson is out for a bit, then maybe even going for Danny Welbeck up top instead. But their front three spots are really highly contentious because basically it's Watkins, Haaland, and you've got one other spot up there for Jesus or Kane or one of the other really good forward assets. So I think if you hold McAllister, I don't see, unless you're wildcarding, that you're changing him out. I think that doesn't make any sense ahead of 34. No.
He was in the top five for XG underachievers, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, by the way. And if you're not a member over at Fantasy Football Scout, obviously recommended by Sam and
there's a free trial on as well at the moment.
Is there? Okay, so we'll get over to Scout and check that out, guys. All the links are in the description below if you want to go and check out Fantasy Football Scout. We use all the stats and stuff here in the members area. To be honest with you, I look at it more or less every day in the members area.
I'm just every day.
Just in there, just like faffing about with stats. It's so good, and it's so user friendly as well in there. Even a muppet like me can pick it up and just start comparing player stuff. It's brilliant. But XG underachievers on that front game week 31 dashboard right now, McAllister, fifth with an XG delta of 0.57. So potentially a bit unlucky, would
again,
you say?
Though, yeah. You know, and I do think that this is why I'm a bit frustrated with my Brighton guys, because last week, both really unlucky. This week, both again, I feel, were a bit unlucky. I wonder whether there was an element with McAllister this week of circumstances, meaning that he played a bit deeper because the new guy came on, didn't he, to replace Ferguson.
And Sisco.
Yeah.
What a goal, by the way.
Yeah, what a goal.
Oh, my God. This kid's 19.
Yeah.
A Peruvian or Paraguayan, the chat will tell me. It comes from somewhere beginning with P. I apologise, and Sisco. But what a goal. And before that, he forced Kepa into a really good save at his near post. Yeah. He was ex-lively, wasn't he, in Sisco?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good.
And
how do they do... Sorry to interrupt you. How do Brighton keep doing this? Their South American scouting network must be amazing.
Quality. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, it seems to be the route into the Premier League for most good South American players, doesn't it? Go to Brighton.
Paraguay. Thank you, Sonia.
And I do wonder whether sometimes with players like him on the pitch, maybe that affects McAllister slightly. Nonetheless, McAllister went game off. I do feel a bit frustrated by those Brighton guys. Likewise, Saka. I am really annoyed about Saka at the moment. And I'm glad it's free hit next week because I've got time to ponder on what I do with Saka. Because going into 34... I don't know, I'm not feeling the love at the moment. My back two currently that have played, obviously Trent's going to be getting 30 points tomorrow night, so that's fine. but Trippier and Gabriel, I can't help but feel really frustrated by both of those because I wanted to play Mings this week because I really do like what Aston Villa are doing. But I also don't ever feel like I can bench Trippier because of the attacking potential that he has.
Hasn't got an attack... hasn't been involved with a goal for a while. Has he now, Trips?
Didn't get one, got an assist. When did he get the last assist? It was a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to jump ahead, but are you going with him on free hit?
Well.
All right. Well, shall we save it? Let's save it. Okay, we'll save it.
There's him, and I wanted to bench him this week, and I was a bit unsure of what to do, and in the end, fear got me, and I played him. And Gabriel, another one where, I mean, Gabriel had a bad game today. He was at full a lot today. Yeah. But nonetheless, again, he gets some attacking threats. So I benched Mings, which I regret a lot because that would have given me a green arrow had I played Mings over one of those two guys. But we are where we are.
Villa, what? So let's just talk about Villa in a second because we're already getting into the games. We're doing what we usually do here at FPL Family. We go off on tangents. Just quickly cover my team, though. 62. All out. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. So I've got no Liverpool, I've got no Leeds. Up to 59k from something like 62, so it's a very, very small green arrow. I expect if Salah, Trent, Robbo, Van Dijk, anybody that's got any sort of FPL ownership does well tomorrow night, that might change to red. But I'm hoping, well, and I think it will only be a small one unless Salah goes absolutely crazy.
It's going to be Trent that goes crazy.
Well, I hope for your case that is the case.
Although Max wants Salah.
Well, he'll probably get it the way Max's season is going. So a small green right now could be a small red after the Liverpool game. I never really saw this game week as a game week to go and sort of gamble at all. I did Madison to Grealish as my transfer. Very template, very safe. With a view to attacking next game week. I've had this for a few weeks now. I've had this like, where are my game weeks that I'm going to be patient and where are these game weeks where I'm going to attack it? And next week is one to attack, in my opinion, with the free hit chip. This one wasn't. I played it safe, picked the right captain. Ollie Watkins saved him a game week. Grealish a decent transfer in. Raya's two bonus points, very welcome. But outside of that, not really much to shout out about. I noticed De Gea's got one there. I must have taken this screenshot a little while ago because he obviously got a clean sheet, got six points, didn't he? Yeah. So this screenshot might be a bit old. I've picked the wrong keeper by a point, but listen, I'm not going to moan too much about it. A green arrow is a green arrow, so we'll take it. Let's get into some of the games, Sam, before we start talking about free hits. We've touched on Villa, we've touched on Ollie Watkins. What else would you like to say about Villa? Because I thought they started the game brilliantly. They were proper hyped. Like, there was something about their performance. I don't know if you saw the Match of the Day highlights, but like, whenever Martinez like made a save, G'ing up the crowd. And whenever Watkins' celebration was like G'ing up the crowd, I was just like, You boys are pumped. Like, he's got them properly motivated at the minute.
Well, so I think there's two things to say about Villa at the minute. One, if they carry on winning games, they're going to make Europe. And two,
absolutely could, yeah.
And two, if the season started at game week 15 when Emery took over, they'd be in the top four.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Villa are performing in a way that's
real deal at the minute.
Yeah, they are a team. And I said this last week, and I probably said it the week before, they were a team completely transformed without being transformed. It's the same players playing the same, you know, together. It's the same team. Yet what's changed since Emery's come along is, well, his style of football is obviously different to Gerrard's. So he's bringing a new style. But his style of play really suits the players that he's...
It's a match made in heaven, isn't it?
It is a brilliant piece of employment by the Villa backroom staff and, you know, the people at large at Villa who have appointed Emery, because they've clearly looked at him and gone, his style of play and our player group,
it's a fit.
It's a match made in heaven. Yes. And Emery's arrived and he can get the best out of these players that we've seen mediocre at best from over the last 18 months prior to Emery arriving.
I mean, Buendia was well good. I mean, obviously Watkins will get the headlines, class, and rightly so, but Buendia was so good.
Absolutely.
And the what's great and exciting, I guess, for Aston Villa fans is that core that we've spoken about, with maybe the exception of John McGinn, it's a young team, right? Yeah. They could go places next season. And if they do get European football, who better to guide them through a Europa League campaign, because let's assume it probably is going to be Europa League, than a guy that's won it sort of three or four times. You know, brilliant.
I think, you know, you look at what's happening at Villa and they've got all of the right ingredients there to do really well. Going into next season, if I was a Villa fan, I'd feel really optimistic about where we were going.
Yeah.
And from an FPL perspective, you are... Villa, unfortunately, fall into this category of players that are really, really cheaply priced, which means you can get loads of them in, which means, unfortunately, they enable the rest of your team to look really good.
Yeah.
And therefore, often, as with my team this week, players like Mings end up on the bench. And I thought I honestly thought Newcastle would score. I thought Newcastle would score in this game because they have been good attack over the last few weeks. The Newcastle attack has been really good. They've not been so solid defensively, but they have been scoring goals. The likes of Isak, Callum Wilson, they've been up there, they've been getting goals. Yesterday, they were completely outplayed by Aston Villa.
I just thought they got shocked. Even within the first 30 seconds, Watkins, I think, hit the post.
He did, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, no Watkins owner.
At 12:30 kickoff, by the way. That never happens. It's normally sleepy as.
Yeah, they got well up. They got well up
for
it.
Yeah, it's great.
I know he got, I'm not moaning at all. 16 points. Very happy to have him in my
team. Should have been more, though.
I tell you what, he could have had more. Well, he could have been 20
one,
plus.
Well, he had one VAR'd out, didn't he? Just before the goal he scored, like a couple of minutes before the goal he scored. And obviously had that one off the post. And then there was another one when I was watching the highlights. And I was like, goodness me, Ollie Watkins, you could have had four or five in this game on your own.
Really good.
I was really impressed by Aston Villa. And I think, you know, going forward, if you're going to wildcard at some point in the next couple of weeks, investing more heavily in Villa than just in Ollie Watkins actually seems like a really good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, top for shots amongst the whole game week in 31. Ollie Watkins with 6. Next best was Bruno Fernandes with 5. We've got to talk about him in a second as well, because again, Bruno Fernandes, another, in my opinion, man of the match performance. In fact, let's go there now. The game that we've just finished watching, Nottingham Forest 0, Manchester United 2. Like I say, a man of the match performance from Bruno Fernandes. Again, I thought he was brilliant, dictated the play. Pass completion rate was great. Sky Sports giving man of the match. Top for chances created throughout the game week with 6. Second for shots with 5. 3 FPL points. His owners will be seething. And rightly so. Very unlucky if you're a Bruno
unlucky.
Owner.
Very unlucky.
Hits the underside of the bar. Oh,
that one was ridiculously unlucky. Yeah, I think if you're a Bruno Fernandes owner, you're really unlucky. What I will say, what a difference Christian Eriksen made in that midfield. Because him coming on and starting the game, and I know that he wasn't supposed to today, because Sabitzer got injured in the warm-up or whatever happened to him, he couldn't start the game. So Eriksen gets the start. I thought he made the world of difference in a midfield where last week I didn't think they were that great. Obviously, they'd lost Rashford for a groin injury and they were missing Casemiro. And I just felt like today, with the kind of, well, let's be honest, a makeshift defence behind them, they needed the
United,
they needed the midfielders to have a really good game. And they absolutely did.
And
so,
did, yeah.
You know, I think if you are a Bruno Fernandes owner, you can feel very hard done by that you didn't get anything out of that game, because he definitely had a better game than Anthony, who got a load of points today.
He was good as well, Anthony. I've been fairly critical of him before here on FPL Family live streams, but he was good. And particularly the assist for Dalot.
It was a lovely assist for Dalot.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
But did not play as well as Bruno Fernandes did. If you're Bruno Fernandes, I know you've been very unlucky, and it is what it is. But you're going to keep them anyway.
I saw some comment from Ten Hag, I think, post-match, saying, they were talking about the Sabitzer injury and warm-up, and he said something like, it's no doubt it's a loss, but when you've got Christian Eriksen coming on in his place, it hardly feels like a downgrade, do you know what I mean? And the United fans will tell you, Martin's in the chat, he'll tell you, he makes a big difference to the way they play midfield, Eriksen. But enough about Man United, because they don't play next game week in 32.
You do hold your asset. If you've got a Manchester United asset, they are the sort, if you don't have a free hit, that you would want to try and bench next week.
Yes.
So that you've got them ready for 35.
Yeah. And as the chat is saying, Casemiro back. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We've got to give him a shout
He'll
out.
Be back
well.
For
very,
33
very
win.
Very good. No surprise that when he's back, again, Bruno looks... I mean, if Bruno had got 10 to 15 points this week, as a non-owner, I'd have gone, fair, because he was brilliant.
He was great
brilliant
today, Bruno Fernandes, yeah.
What about Forest, though? Because Forest now starting to... Their fans will be looking worryingly
backwards
at the bottom of the table, won't they, I think. Now, listen, still plenty of time to get out of it, but a trip to Anfield next, and that's why I want to talk about them, because Liverpool are going to feature pretty highly, I think, on people's free hit in 32, or indeed on just transfers in for next week if you've not got the chip. Are they a team to target now, Forest?
They definitely are on the road, and they've got to go to Anfield next week. So 100% they are if you are looking for a transfer in for next week or a free hit. At home, they are better. I did think that they were a little bit unlucky today. Not to... get any actual Premier League points. But there were a couple of moments today where, like, Nico Williams got through, didn't he, towards the end of the game and could have scored. There were a couple of moments like that where the Manchester United goal did lead a bit of a charmed life. However, Man United definitely deserved to win the game. So I do think that if... I mean, the reality is, if you are invested...
They weren't that good, though. Who? You've picked them up a bit there, but...
Who?
Forest.
They had a couple of moments today. They had a couple of moments
one that kind of come off somebody's head and hit the post in the first half, but...
They had a couple of moments today where they could have scored. Was De Gea ever
panicking? I don't know, really.
I don't know. I think there were a couple of moments today where Forest could have and maybe should have scored. But the problem that you have with Forest is... Well, one, I don't think that they're a terrible... Now that Bench Boost is done for 99% of the game, or however many managers have played it, I think there is the scope to go with somebody like Nico Williams again, because he's going to be your third bench option most weeks and you're not going to necessarily need them. The problem you've got is that if you've got a, if you've got a Forest player in your team, you're going to have to probably play them in 32 unless you've got a free hit chip remaining, and that's not an ideal situation.
Yeah, I'm not really, I'm not at all thinking about bringing in any Forest players. I'm just saying, are they a team to target now with the Liverpool transfer?
Oh, I see.
With the fixtures going forward.
Well, I think definitely for next week. I mean, they are way, way better, the statistics suggest, at home than they are away from home.
Yeah.
So when you've got Forest away, you target them. When you've got them at home, I think it depends on the team that you have going there. So when it's like a team like Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal players, teams like that, then fine. If it's a mid-table team, then I'm not sure that you target them at home.
Okay.
I think that's what I'd say.
All right, another super chat from Simon. Thank you, Nigel the Crab, for the super chat. I'm on a green arrow, so that's good.
Yes.
On course for 100, really on course for 100 points, despite the minus 28. Shout out for bringing in Lindelof and getting a clean sheet and bonus point. That's ballsy to bring in Lindelof. Not many people are bringing in Lindelof this week.
He is ballsy. He's probably brought in Salah and probably got a couple of Liverpools in there.
I'm sure he has. So we're targeting Nottingham Forest. In my opinion, we're targeting Nottingham Forest. Another team to target. Sorry, FPL Harry. Chelsea. What is going on at Chelsea? What's going on? The Frank Lampard revolution is being televised and it ain't good viewing for Chelsea Football Club. What's going on?
But don't you think that Frank's been told to try and stay in the Champions League?
And he's doing a great job.
No, I know he's not doing a good job there, but don't you think that that's where the priority is? Like, you know, when I speak to my dad and my brother, they're like, we don't want any European football. We'd rather come eighth, have no European football, and then just be able to rebuild next season.
So the answer to my question is, yes, target them, because they don't want to win games, according to that rhetoric.
Well, I mean, and this is the rhetoric of two Chelsea fans. Like, I'm not saying that that's what Frank's telling them. When you looked at the... I mean, SofaScore is my best friend on a match day for the 3 o'clock kickoffs, and I look at the play lines a lot. Chelsea just weren't involved by them.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch it back on Match of the Day, again, Brighton came to London and deserved to take all 3 points. Like, Chelsea is hard. I sold Chilwell. I mean, I think that tells you what I think about Chelsea.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Is that I chose to sell a heavily owned player this week, and if I'd hadn't sold him, I'd have benched him. So yeah, target Chelsea. I get. I mean, the fixtures. What fixtures are right, aren't they? Chelsea's.
Well, they don't play next week, right? So listen. It's let's not spend any more time on them. The fixtures are terrible. Actually, our bottom of the ticker between now and the end of the season, it's a blank. Then it's Brentford at home. Then it's Arsenal away in the double. So you're definitely not targeting Chelsea players to bring in, because you're going to be looking at the rest of the teams that do double in 34 and loading up there. Then they go away to Bournemouth, who are kind of fighting for their lives, and Chelsea aren't. So going to the Vitality will be a difficult game. Forest at home, okay. And then they finish the season with Man City and Newcastle. I would go as far as to say, apart from that Forest game at home in 36... who at that time will be fine, you know, Forest will still be in the thick of it. My point is, and you're right in what you said, they've got nothing to fight for. And again, I'm sorry to say it, Chelsea fans, but again, in his post-match interview, Lampard was all about, did you hear what he was saying? Oh, they've got to be proud to play in the shirt, and they've got to be... It's all just like emotional narrative again, isn't it? There's nothing... He's so tactically unaware, Lampard, in my opinion. He's got the job because of who he is at Chelsea. And who he was at Chelsea was legendary. I'm not saying he wasn't. But he's just not it. And they've just, Bowley's put him in there as a stopgap.
But that's what it ever was. That's all it ever was supposed to be, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So the
come
answer
in,
to my...
try and win the Champions League.
Okay, so the answer to my original question is, yes, target Chelsea. I think you have to.
Yes, but equally, I'm not sure that this... So target them, yes, but I don't like playing FPL this way. Because otherwise, every week, you're making transfers based upon the teams that players have got, rather than the form that they're in. I think you target the teams that are playing well and have something to play for, not the teams that are playing badly.
All right, well, listen, I'm not going to spend any longer on them because they're not playing in 32 and their fixtures are guff and they've given up for the season, so I won't be bringing any of them in. Brighton...
You've still got Chilwell. Are you going to sell him then?
I will as soon as I can, yeah, basically. Yeah. I benched him this week and, yeah, I've got other things I want to do in my team because I'm now looking at moving on to Brighton. I'm now looking at McAllister in that deeper role and thinking... Do I want him in my team longer term? I'm not sure. I mean, it's not in my headspace right now because I'm all about the 32 free hit and those boys are all going anyway. But when they come back in for 33, I will be looking at McAllister. I'll be looking at Chilwell. I'll be looking at a few others and thinking, do need a little bit, maybe a little bit of a mini revolution in my team. But Brighton, we talked about them at the beginning of the show, so let's not spend too much time on them. But again, yeah, could have scored more. Bit unlucky with the goal. I mean, Gallagher got into a nice position, but it took a massive deflection off a dunk and looped over the keeper. On another day, Estupinan keeps the clean sheet. Yeah, what else to say? Don't panic on them. And if you've got the free hit, obviously they come back in for you in 33, which is absolutely fine. If you've not got the free hit in 32, would you sell McAllister because of the blank and then potentially still sitting in that sort of deeper role?
Maybe, because that gives you the opportunity to... go with another Brighton asset for 34 if you can get McAllister back if you want to.
But surely you'd sell a Brighton asset this week with a view to getting somebody in that plays in 32, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, yes, of course, but what I'm saying is that you could always bring McAllister back ahead of 34.
Sure.
Because Brighton, the problem with selling players like Brighton is that they're doubling in 34. So if you're going to sell them, you either want a route back to them, and therefore you sell the one that you've got the least value in, or you sell the one that you think you might be wanting to remove anyway. So if you're looking at McAllister thinking he's playing deeper, therefore maybe I don't want him, but I'd rather have March, then that's quite a nice opportunity, isn't it? Because you can sell McAllister this week for whoever it is that you need for game week 32.
Okay.
And then for game week 33 or 34, you can do that. Re-swap back out for March again later and make the change of Brighton assets if that's how you want to play it.
Cool, all right. And another shout out for Encisco, what a goal. And I'm see you in the chat, Simon, telling me that my pronunciation of Encisco is wrong. Mate, you've known me long enough to know that I don't know how to pronounce most.
Yeah, I barely pronounces Sam right.
Correct, yeah, correct. Super chat from Rithwick. Thank you, Rithwick, for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hi, Rithwick. 63 points with Salah left. Yeah, there's a lot of Salah owners a bit worried about this tomorrow night. From an FPL perspective, I obviously hope he does well from a Liverpool perspective. My question is, is getting Konate a decent option if you cannot afford any Liverpool defender above 5 million? Yeah, I think he's, at the minute, he looks first choice. I think he's been our best defender whenever he's been fit. The problem is he can't stay fit for long enough. But if he can get a little run in the team, then he'll be all right. We'll talk about Liverpool defenders a bit more on the when we get to the free hit, the 32 free hit. He did have a period of time a couple of seasons ago where he was banging in headers for fun, particularly in the Champions League. I remember a goal against Atletico, and he was a threat from set pieces. Haven't seen that so much this season. Haven't seen it so much this season. But I don't mind it, Rithwick. I don't mind it. I think there probably are some other defenders in that sort of price bracket that have got a bit more about them than that sort of 6-point ceiling that I think Konate's got.
Yeah.
But don't mind it, mate. Don't mind it. Where else to go with some of these games, Sam? We've spoken about Villa-Chelsea. What about... Can we have a quick shout out for Eze at Palace? 2 goals for him. So immediately is going to jump onto free hit radars in 32, if not transfer in radars, I would suggest. That's now, is that 2 in a row or 3 in a row for Hodgson? 3 in a row
three
for
in a
Hodgson,
row for
isn't
Hodgson,
it?
Yeah. So he's getting them. They're pretty much at the promised land now.
So all they've got to do is beat Everton at home in this in game week 32, and they're probably
judged by Everton in this
pretty
week.
Much there. They're probably just about there. Eze though, what are we saying about him? Because in my opinion, and the stats back this up, because he is top for XG overachievers this week. His XG for this week was 0.33. And he obviously got 2 goals. I'm not saying it wasn't a good performance, because it was.
He was clinical.
And he was very clinical in front of goal. But Only, I think, 3 shots in the game. Not that many touches in the box, and a high XG overachievement. Are we getting a bit overexcited?
But it was the same last week. He was a high. I think sometimes with players, we've seen this before. Who was it last season that did this? And every week they were scoring goals, but every week they were like massively high on the XG overachievement. I can't remember who it was.
Probably a Brighton player.
It was one of the big. No, it was last season. It was one of the big hitters. It might have been. Maybe it was Son. Who was doing quite well. I can't remember now. But it was one of the big hitters. And every week we sat and we were like, well, they can't keep this up. They can't maintain this.
They can't maintain this.
And maybe, and Gabrielle earlier, Martinelli, at the beginning of the season, we were saying the same thing. But yet they do keep doing it. And I wonder whether with Eze, Palace have found some form. And yes, what we said last week continues to be the case. They have got nice fixtures. So if you're ever going to find form, you're going to find it against teams like Southampton and Everton. So, but that's what we want, right? As FPL managers, we want a team that's found form, players in good form, under a confident, still got something to fight for mentality, and nice fixtures. So we have this in bucket loads with Crystal Palace. I think the interesting thing going into a game week 32 wildcard, or even just a game week 32 transfer, because I think Crystal Palace assets will be ones that managers should be looking to get in for this week, either one of those two ways, transfers or on a free hit, is going to be, do you go with Eze because he's the one that got the points this week, or do you stick with Elise, who also, whilst not getting the points this week, is great and could have got points.
Yeah, Duncan's in the chat saying Eze or Elise on the free hit next week could be a very nasty 50-50 call. And I agree with that. Because I look at some of the stats and I say, well, Eze's clearly got the goal threat and that manifests into a couple of goals this week.
Elise's all about the assist, though.
Elise has got some serious underlying assist threat. He's got a bit of goal threat too. I think in the first couple of games under Hodgson, I remember reading this earlier on in the week before this game week, I think he'd have something like 6 shots, which was, you know, that was, he was up in his average basically. And this includes a game where they battered Leeds 5-1, by the way. So that's kind of skewing it a little bit. But we're starting to see confidence. That was the thing that came through, in this, was that actually the highlights I watched of this game, it's almost as if Hodgson has said to them, look, you are good enough. Just go out there and express yourselves and play to your ability. And I think, I can't remember which player it was, might even have been Eze actually, because I'd imagine Eze would have been on a lot of post-match interview duty. He said something, words to that effect. He said, Hodgson's come along and said, he doesn't try to sort of babysit us. He just said, you're all good enough. Just go out there and show everyone that you're good enough.
Well, I think Hodgson is doing the thing that you need from a caretaker manager. He's gone in there knowing, he knows these players, right? So he knows how to get the best out of them because he was doing that before he retired originally.
Yeah.
So he's got existing relationships with them. He knows what they can do. And he's basically gone in and gone, I trust you to do this and to save yourselves. I'm going to play you in the positions where I'm going, you know, you want to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring back some of the guys that had been a bit lost in the wilderness under Vieira and play them. And what we are getting now is, by the way, a team without Zaha as well, that are playing consistently well. And we never get that really with Palace, particularly if Zaha's not around. So when you've got...
Are they better off without him?
Well...
Without Wilf.
Well, I don't know if that's a long-term thing or whether... But at the moment...
He does like to hog the ball a bit, doesn't he? And I wonder whether they're all kind of like a bit more fluid and dynamic and passing it about.
I mean, maybe. I think what they've all got is something to really fight for. They've got Premier League survival to fight for.
Nearly there.
They are nearly there now.
Yeah, I think
they're
so.
They're playing under a manager who they like, they respect, they've got a lot of time for, who's come back in to just steady the ship to get them to the end of the season. And then they've got to impress whoever comes in. And Michael Elise and Eze, they are both putting their hands up and saying, hello.
Yeah.
New managers, we're a decent side.
Yeah. Also, just a quick shout out for their defence. There's also another clean sheet for them. I know they didn't get one against Leeds, but away at Southampton, clean sheet. The way that Everton are scoring or not right now, you'd maybe back their defence as well. Have you got your eye on Sam Johnson in goal? Picked up a save point as well with 4 saves this week. I don't think he got any bonus because I think that was... he did actually. Look, a couple of bonus there. So, listen, that's a 7-8. That's a 9-pointer for Johnson this week. That's got a bit under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defence actually looked quite impressive recently at Palace. I think that there was a number of options in there. I really like Anderson. I've liked Anderson for a few years now. It feels like I've sat on these live streams and said I really like him. He's definitely an option. And I think with Johnston, what you have is you got to pay a bit more for him. And I think this is part of the issue. You got to pay a bit more for a goalkeeper because he's 4.4, I think. You got to pay a bit more for him than you have for, say, some of the cheaper options that you could go with.
Free hit, he's all right. I'm not talking about bringing him in.
Oh, on a free hit, yeah, great. Yeah. If you need a goalkeeper for a free hit, then yes, he could be a great option. I think if you're looking to do it on transfers, then I don't think you go there because there's no double. I think you'd be better off to go with a cheaper defender. Oh, yeah,
I'm not thinking about bringing him in, just thinking about on a free hit.
Yeah,
decent.
On a free hit, fine.
All right, so that's Palace. Any other games to discuss? Or should we get on to free hit drafts?
Let's get on to the free hit. Because we'll end up talking about these other teams as part of that anyway.
Because I don't feel like we've covered Newcastle. Because one of the key games, I think, in free hit next week is Spurs-Newcastle. Newcastle v Spurs. And it's a game that, frankly, I'm thinking about steering clear of altogether on my free hit. Because I can't call it. It's a difficult game. Before we get on to our free hit, Sam, shout out to all of our patrons. We've got Simon and we've got Duncan and we've got Martin and a few of the other guys in the live chat this evening. Guys, thank you for being with us. Thank you for supporting us over on patreon.com/FPL family. All of the guys that you see in the chat on a regular basis are in there either supporting us at the Ohana tier, most at the Manager of the Month tier, that's the most popular tier that we do, or the Zoom tier as well. So $3, $5, or $10. Get over to patreon.com/FPL family if you'd like a little bit more Sam and Lee and FPL family in your lives. And with our current Manager of the Month competition, this is before game week 31, because obviously game week 31's not finished yet, so we've got the Liverpool and Leeds game to go. But at the end of game week 30, this is how we stood for April's Manager of the Month competition. We had Martin Sahlin up there with 215 points, Helen in with 213, and Omar with 217. However, April is a long month. 211, sorry, Omar. Yeah, so 211. April is a long month. A lot of game weeks to cover in April. So still plenty of football to go. So if you think you can beat these guys on a monthly basis, if you think you can, if your team is outperforming Duncan and Cy and Martin and all the other guys that you can see in the live chat, if you want to go head-to-head with these guys and with Sam and I on a monthly basis and get the chance to win some cool prizes from our sponsors, kickingtheballs.com, all the links are in the description below for you to find out more about that. So well done to Martin, Helen and Omar. And I think the chasing pack is pretty close to Omar. There's a very small amount of variance in the top sort of 20 of the Manager of the Month competition. There's going to be a lot of changing of the guard, I suspect, in that
top three.
I'll be
top when Trent gets 200 points tomorrow.
You could be. let's have a look at then free hits. The free hit chip in 32. So yes. You and I are both playing it.
Uh-huh.
These are the fixtures. So there is no surprises that Liverpool and Palace and Arsenal are going to feature heavily. Uh-huh. Like they're going to feature heavily in people's free hits. There are some games like Spurs versus Newcastle, like to a degree Aston Villa versus Brentford. I'm finding those games quite hard to call. I am a bit.
I think Aston Villa Brentford's easy.
I don't think going to the G-Tech is...
Against Wolves. Did you watch them?
Yeah, I did. And I did watch Aston Villa as well, and I was very, very impressed, I have to say.
I think Aston Villa win that game.
You could be right. But listen, either way, there are some teams to target and some teams not to target. If anyone's building a free hit with any Forest or Southampton, I don't think you're potentially doing it correctly. Unless you want to punt. You want to go for a James Ward-Prowse, then be my guest.
Unless you've got some real, need to save budget and you go for a really cheap bench option from one of those teams, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. And even, I know, we didn't talk about Leicester versus Man City. And City were brilliant first half, right? Blew them away. But when Pep made all the changes, Leicester did come back into a little bit. Madison missed a one-on-one and could have had an assist for a pen.
But that's because they allowed that.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Not because Leicester were any good. Because City went, oh well.
Yeah, but at home to Wolves, I don't mind your Iheanachos or your Madisons. But anyway, those are the fixtures. Let's get into our free hit draft. So this is the draft that you've pulled together. And guys, these are very early 1.0 drafts. So obviously we've got the Liverpool game tomorrow, which we're going to be heavily scouting Liverpool assets to see you know, who's getting the who's getting amongst it and who we might want in our free hit 32 drafts. But right now, this is where you're at. We'll talk about the locks and who you're scouting as well, but talk us through your draft first and foremost.
So three Arsenal, all three attackers currently. But I am really torn on whether Saka should be a defender because I want Martinelli, I want Jesus, but I just think the clean sheet is almost nailed on Friday evening against Southampton.
Mm.
And with players like Gabriel...
Always got that goal for it. He had a header on target, didn't he, today? And I was like, I thought it was going in, but yeah.
Yeah, and he's obviously left my team on this free hit to have Gabriel Jesus at the top, which I'm not... I just don't really feel comfortable not having him. I really want him back in. So
Gabriel Jesus a lock for you?
He is for me, yes.
I think he is for me as well. I've been very impressed with him coming back into that team. He's fit back straight back in, isn't he?
Yeah, the way that he's playing, he's in there. And Martinelli's a lock as well. I think the way that those two are playing together makes them absolutely must-haves for this game against Southampton.
The one thing I do love doing with a free hit 32 is going out there and being a bit wild with my picks. But with them two, I just don't. Certainly Martinelli, you think you just go for it, don't you?
I think what I might do that's wild is I can see myself not having Saka and having Gabriel instead.
Yeah, okay,
I can feel that happening.
Today, though, on another day, he gets scores the penalty and he gets six or seven points.
You know, I just feel like over the last few weeks, Saka hasn't been performing, not badly. Like, I'm not for 1 minute saying that he's been playing badly in the last few weeks, but from an FPL perspective, not performing as we would want for the budget that you have to spend on him.
Why is that? Do you think he's a worse FPL asset with Jesus in the team? Is there a correlation there?
Maybe. I mean, earlier on in the season, it was Jesus and Martinelli again, wasn't it, together? Mm. They've got this really nice chemistry between them. I don't know. So three Arsenal is an absolute must, as is three Liverpool. Now, at the moment, I've doubled up defensively with Alisson and Trent.
Alisson, talk me through that one.
Well, I don't think Forrest will score. So
yeah, but his ceiling is 6 points, isn't he? I expect us to have a lot of the ball. He's not going to get past completion rate and bonus points or anything.
No, but I equally look at the fixtures next week and think how many goalkeepers are sort of almost guaranteed a clean sheet. And I've got loads of budget, by the way. There's about 1.3 million in the bank with this team.
That's one thing to say, is that it doesn't feel to me like this is a free hit where you're going to be struggling for budget. This is genuinely, there's you can have who you want, I think.
I think it's 1.3. It might be 1.4. But there's loads of money in the bank. So I kind of looked at it and went, well, all right. If I was trying to save money, then Sam Johnston, fine. Go with him. But I don't need to save the budget.
It's not a question of budget, though. It's a question of... It's the opportunity cost of not having another Liverpool player at home to Forest.
Maybe,
I don't know why you wouldn't have a...
But I don't like any of your attackers apart from Salah. Mm. Unless Luis Diaz is fit and available. And then it's a different question. Because I think if Luis Diaz is available to start the game against Nottingham Forest, then I'll find space for Luis Diaz in my midfield. And I'll swap Alisson out for a different goalkeeper. But the way that things are at the moment, yes, I could go for a Robertson and a Trent together instead, because Robertson does have a higher point ceiling than Alisson does. But then the way that we've got to remember here that you're building a free hit squad, and it's very, very easy to build a very, very good 15, but you've got to bench three of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, fair enough.
And when I'm looking at this, yes, I could take money out of Alisson, I could put Robertson in there, but then I've probably got to bench somebody like Mings or Anderson. And I don't know that I want to do that, really. So I think you've got to kind of question how you're setting them up. So three Arsenal, three Liverpool. Luis Diaz, if fit and available, probably replaces Alisson, to be honest.
So talk me through the Trippier and Kane then, because this is the game, I must admit, and let's go back to the fixtures. This is the game where I want to pick players from this fixture for game week 32. I can't call it. I'm finding it difficult. So therefore, I might stay away from it altogether, but you've gone Trippier and Kane. Well, so what's that about?
So I haven't. These are the three positions. I think there's a couple of positions there that I haven't changed at all, and that's because I haven't decided what I'm doing with them. So Kane, I'm going to have because I think
you are going to have Harry Kane.
I am going to have Harry Kane. That I'm not going into the game week without Harry. I just, yes, it's Spurs blinkers. It absolutely is, but I'm not going into the game without Harry Kane. Trippier, on the other hand, I'm really tempted to leave out because I don't think they clean sheet against us. And he hasn't been getting the attacking returns. And this week might be an opportunity to pick somebody else defensively that could get more.
Mm.
Because I can see a case where Trippier gets two this week coming again.
You see, I'm finding this so difficult.
I don't
disagree with you on the Trippier thing. I think you can score up there. But I don't see like Kane going mad, right? And I don't even necessarily see him scoring. They are good at home.
But when Newcastle. You okay, so when you look across the attacking players that you could have,
yeah.
So if I take Kane, because this is how I did this, I was like, right, I want Jesus, I want Watkins. Absolutely, they're not going anywhere either of those two. So Kane's position. Is there anybody across the teams that I think could be a better forward pick? Well, there isn't at Liverpool because
I can give you two off the top of my head straight away. One in that game.
In that game?
I'd rather have Isak than Kane next week.
Would you?
Did you see the way you defended against Bournemouth? I've never seen defending like it. It's the poorest defend I've seen from Spurs for ages. Pedro Porro, man, going forward, he's dynamite. He was top for, what was the stat? Top for crosses, Sam. He had, let's see, 13 crosses this week, Pedro Porro. I don't know if any of them actually did anything. It's a proper,
probably not.
Proper Emerson Royale style
no,
crossing to nobody.
I will not have you slay Emerson Royale anymore.
Emerson Royale was like, he just used to cross for fun. And,
but then he became
good.
Teams
used to just let him cross
it. But then he became good.
But Pedro Porro, honestly, attacking, I get it. He's putting crosses in the box. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be all right. Defensively, the guy's a liability. He's shocking. And poor old Davinson Sanchez.
No, don't poor old Davinson
poor
Sanchez.
Poor guy. He come on. Because somebody get injured?
Longley.
Longley got injured. He come on. And then he gets dragged off. About...
Because he was terrible.
Yeah. But they all were. Do you know what I mean? I feel like... and
yeah, but he brought him on. And he was awful.
He was
the worst player in that defence. And
the
crowd
were cheering when he went off, though. I was like, how do you feel, mate?
And we are going to we were going to try and win the game. We were replaced by an attacker. Because we put Dan Juma on for him. Honestly, I like Davinson Sanchez. He's a nice man. He is. He's a really sweet,
nice bloke.
Really nice bloke. Go and play for someone else. Bless
Do
you
not
you.
Think he's being made a scapegoat for the rest of them, though?
Oh, look, the rest of them are what they are. But he came on and we were awful when he came on. Like, we got worse.
Yeah.
And then he went off.
Right. Well, I don't
and we got better. A bit better. Not a load better, but we did get a bit better. So, I don't disagree with you that I think Newcastle can score against us, but I also think that we can score against them, which is why I wouldn't be... I don't think I want anybody defensively from either of those two sides. Do I think Isak is a better pick than Kane? No. But only because Callum Wilson is there as well. And it could be him, couldn't it? It could be
You're
either
so
of them.
You're so biased to Kane.
Well, yeah,
but
I look at the rest of them and go, well, I don't want any West Ham forwards. I could have Solanke against West Ham, but I thought West Ham were all right today. Liverpool...
Solanke was really good against you, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought Bournemouth...
Yeah, but that's because... did you watch our defence? So, Solanke...
You've got
maybe.
To watch the highlights in detail, though. Bournemouth were really good. Their running off
were.
The ball was good. They actually fought for it. And they were pressing you so high up the pitch... Because every time Spurs like to play out, we know this, but you're not, like, there's no intensity. There's no press. There was, like, even Højbjerg was just, like, fluffing balls into midfield. Oh, I've lost it. Oh, never mind. And Bournemouth were just like, right, we know these are not up for it. We're going to press high. And they did a great job. I'd have Solanke over Kane next week in free hit.
Against West Ham?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't. Liverpool, Darwin is there, but then... Could be Jota, could be Firmino. Like I find it too hard to pick who's going to start against Forest, which is why I'd rule them out. I think Wolves will beat Leicester. So that rules them out. There isn't a...
Iheanacho?
No, because I think Wolves will win the game. I can see Wolves winning that game 1-0.
Mm.
And then I look at Palace. If Palace had a forward...
I'd move you on that one. I think I'd stick in midfield for Palace, yeah. But I think Isak, Solanke, even Iheanacho.
There's no one at Everton. Aston Villa, I've got Watkins anyway. I don't want Tony because I thought Brentford were not great. And I think Villa will win that game. Fulham and Leeds. If Mitrovic was there, I'd go Mitrovic. But he's not.
So there isn't anyone from Fulham. Leeds, I'm not going Bamford. And then Arsenal, I've already got Jesus, and I'm not going for a Southampton attacker. So when I'm looking at
Shea Adams.
I did used to love a bit of Shea Adams, didn't I? So when I look at the forward line, there's only maybe one or two that come in the conversation, and then I think I just have Kane. So I think
bloody hell.
I think what will happen here is
it's getting very, very difficult to deal with this every week. Like Harry, like yeah,
you don't have to have him. You can have whoever you like.
I'm not.
Oh,
who else are you? So talk me through the rest. You've made the case for Kane. All right, fair enough. What else then? So Andreas, why him? Pens,
bench.
I suppose. You're going
to
stick him on
the
bench?
You've got to think about who's going to be benched. All yes, right. You can create a brilliant squad, but you've got to think.
All right, so you're picking him, but not going to play him. Talk to me about Bowen then. Bowen. So you're scouting Bowen. Then he's on your list of people that might get a late call up.
Yeah, so I was looking at West Ham for this week because they're playing Bournemouth. Now, all right.
Bournemouth are good.
Well, they were this week, but they haven't been recently. So this week...
they've improved massively last few weeks.
This week they played well. The last couple of weeks, I haven't been that impressed with Bournemouth. But what I will say is that West Ham I have not been impressed with at all. But I was today. I thought that they had a bit of fight in them today. And so Bowen is one that I've kind of put on my scouting list because the underlying stats for Bowen are actually... reasonable. Like I took a picture of
he was absolute class today for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I took a picture of this earlier. That's his third attacking return in successive games against Arsenal. So he does do well in kind of those sorts of games. Where
that's
teams...
nothing to do with form though, is it?
No, but it's against teams that press hard. And if Bournemouth play like they did against Spurs, against West Ham, Bowen will get space. That was kind of the point I was trying to make.
Right.
When you look at West Ham over the course of this season, again, on the basis that Bournemouth do what they did against Spurs, they come attack, they try and win the game because they want to get out, make sure that they're clear of relegation, which looks like they're going to be now.
Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bloody great. I don't know. Where is this? Like, I've not been impressed with Bournemouth. They're bloody great at the minute, Bournemouth. Brilliant.
All right.
I don't understand why this site you've not been impressed with them. Haven't they won something like the last 5 of their last 10 games or something?
Well, half. That's great then, isn't it?
All right, fair enough.
So this, and when you look at them over this, when you look at West Ham over the season, so in my head, what I was kind of thinking is, if I go for a West Ham player on the basis that they really...
5 in their last 9. Thank you, Charlie King, in the chat. All right, 5 wins in their last 9.
Just over half then. It's not great, is it? If you look at, can you shut up and let me make this point? Because all you're doing is interrupting me and it's really annoying me. If we look at Bournemouth and suggest that they're going to play with the attacking threat that they did this time around, then you take a look at West Ham, who they've got, and think, well, who is the one that's most likely to get something from that? Bowen is the one that's had the most shots at West Ham this season. He's had 48. He's also the one that's created the most goal-scoring opportunities at West Ham. He's created 40.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that looks most likely, based on the underlying stats from this season, to be involved in the attack.
And Ben Rama takes a mean pen, though, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that fancy him.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're being an absolute prat. Move on. Let's talk about your team.
Go on then. Rip this one to shreds.
No, so I'm not interested. And you just talk. I'm going to sit here.
So here's my team for game week 32. I've backed Newcastle against you lot because I was that unimpressed with Spurs at the weekend. I might not have Trippier because I do fancy you to score. Notice that I am scouting Son. I'm interested in having him as a bit of a differential over Harry Kane. 2-2 for Son. And he's actually looking a little bit back to, if not his full best, he's just starting to... Of all of the players that I didn't think put in much of a shift yesterday for Spurs, he actually did put himself about a little bit and was making off-the-ball runs that were catching my eye. And I thought, yeah, you're looking like... I don't know if the 100 goals thing was maybe something... Is there a bit of a weight lifted there or something? I don't know, but he's actually pretty good, I thought. So he's on my watch list. But nevertheless, I would back Isaac over Kane, as I was saying before. Jesus is a lock for me. He's in one of my locks. Jesus, Salah... And I think Eze, although the conversation we've just had, maybe he's on my scouting list or on my maybe list rather than my locks, Eze, because I don't mind the look of Elise as well. I've got to choose between those two. And as the chat was saying earlier, I think Duncan was saying, it is going to be a 50-50 going into 32, and I'm about to come out the wrong side of it, right? I've gone for Buendia in the middle, just because, again, was really super impressed with him at the weekend. It feels a bit wrong not going with Ollie Watkins, the form that he's in, right? But, again, I'd like to do a mix in 32 of pretty... You know, I want to go for the Salahs and the Sakas and the Martinellis and the Jesus and people that a lot of free hitters are going to go for. But equally, I do want to have a couple of punts in there as well. I want to have something that will mean I can go and attack this game week. And Buendia is one of them. Also, like Alex Moreno, that was said in the chat before. Fass is going to be one of my bench players, as you rightly say. I've gone for Trent and Robbo at the minute, but again, going to be scouting Liverpool tomorrow night to see whether Darwin gets a start. Does he play well? Can he show some form? Can Gakpo do that? Jota? So, and have a look to see whether I can put somebody in there with Salah. But right now, I'm with you. I'm not sure I could confidently... and again, I'm scouting Luis Diaz as well because I love him just as much as you do. But I can't confidently say I could put somebody in there alongside Salah. So I've gone with Trent and Robertson at the back. And then in between the six, I've gone with Johnson. I think Johnson just, never mind the value, I just think he's going to be probably the best pick against a pretty shocking looking Everton in attack. So just for the sake of the podcast, it's Johnson and Everson, Trippier, Trent, Robbo, and then Fass and Moreno, Salah, Saka, Martinelli, Buendia and Eze, Isak, Jesus and Solanke. And on my scouting list is Son, Luis Diaz and then Olise, who I mentioned before. What were you saying about that?
Who are you going to bench in that front eight?
Yeah, difficult. Yeah, difficult one. Maybe Buendia, because I'm probably not going to bench any of the others. Fass and probably Moreno. So probably going to have my Aston Villa boys on the bench with Fass and Everson. So probably the Leicester and Aston Villa players will probably be on the bench, I would suggest. Maybe Solanke rather than Buendia, but I do think that Bournemouth are in good form at the minute. Like we've said before, 5-9, right? And he looks good as well.
I mean, I hate the attack. Ollie sure. Watkins is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Not having Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, that is true.
Is going to kill you. I don't think that's sensible. I think when you free hit, you have to make some sensible choices based upon what the non-free hitters were going to do. And then you use the rest of your free hit team to go rogue and pick differentials. And taking out the in-form player in the game, to me, makes absolutely no sense. I think, in my mind, you make your fifth midfielder a cheap option that you bench. Because I look at your... Unless you're going to make a forward the cheap one you bench, you have to have, I think, a cheap option in there. In order that you're happy to bench them. And I look at that front eight, and I mean, I bench Solanke out of all of them over any of the others.
It's okay to have one good option on the bench though, right? You can have Fass and Moreno on the bench, and then you could have, I don't know,
yeah,
put a Solanke or a Buendia on the bench. That's a decent first sub to come in, should any of the others not play.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I think, I don't know. Saka and Martinelli. Oh, so you're going without an Arsenal defender as well.
I think
we're all going to regret that.
Yeah, maybe. And obviously with two Liverpool there, I might do the switch. I could bring Gabriel in, and rather than Saka, I'll have Liverpool midfielder, right? Whoever's flavour of the month. But also, some of the Liverpool attackers are not midfielders, right? As you rightly say, if you want to go for a Jota or a Nunez, then you've got to have
they're
a forward slot, right? And then it would be probably Solanke that makes way out the three. Yeah, it's still lots to be discussed, right? But that's currently where I'm at. I don't like that I'm so heavily invested in the Newcastle game, but especially with Trippier, because I do fancy it to score, and I just feel like staying away from that game. Like I think Liverpool, Arsenal, Palace. I think you're going to back three wins there, aren't you? Three home wins, I think, with those. So you go three on each of those, which this team has got. Have I got three Palace? No, I haven't got three Palace. But I've got three Liverpool, three Arsenal. Probably go with three Palace as well. Go with Villa. At least one asset from Villa because of the form. Go with Solanke because of the form. And then the rest kind of is, I don't know, a bit of bench fodder or a bit of differentials around it.
Yeah.
What do you think of Son? Me scouting Son?
I think you have Kane if you're going to have a Spurs player. I think going for Son is taking a punt on a player that, yes, did play okay against Bournemouth, but has not been okay for a lot of the season.
Richarlison was also back for a bit of this game. I think we might see a shake-up in what Spurs do in this Newcastle game. Because we're going to have to. We picked up some injuries in that game against Bournemouth. I don't think that means that I'm not suggesting that Son's going to get benched, but I do think that there is potential that Son is the one that, if things aren't going well, that we might move around. And that moving around does sometimes compromise what he's doing. It was nice to see him link up with Perisic again, because they seem to be getting on a bit better lately, as in not that they didn't get on personally before, but they together on the pitch, they didn't work for so much of this season. So that is improving. But I think if you want to invest in Spurs, it's Kane and that's it.
Yeah. The chat is saying mental to ignore Watkins. It does feel it. And even you say, okay, well, they're going away to Brentford. That's a difficult fixture. He's been sensational away from home. I mean, despite the two goals and assists this week,
he's been brilliant.
Actually been his away form that's been so
and
good.
And Brentford have not been in great form of late, home or away. Like, they're not performing at the same level that they were. I mean, there was a period in time where Brentford were fantastic. We're not seeing that at the moment from them.
Yeah, classic bit of overthinking here, isn't there? I've gone for Buendia rather than Watkins. That is overthinking.
I think it's one of those things with a free hit that it's very easy to go, oh, just absolutely, I've got the opportunity to make 15 changes to my team, so let's make 15 changes
so I need
to my team.
Yeah, quite, right? Yeah.
That's not the way that I see a free hit. The way I see a free hit is to look at the players that you have that have good game weeks that you want to keep, plus thinking about the players that managers that aren't, because so the free hit is supposed to give you an advantage. You want, ideally, you want to play in a double game week so you can really maximize the potential. This week, the way to maximize the potential is to go, right, how many players are going to be really heavily owned amongst those that are not free hitting? So Watkins is going to be absolutely one of them. The Arsenal boys are going to be in there as well, and Salah, he's going to be one of those as well. So you're going to take those guys and go, well, these are players that I've kind of got to have because they're the ones that are going to cover me for whatever other non-free hitters do. And then who can I get in that's going to give me an advantage, because they're going to be either teams that probably don't double in 34 because nobody's going to be targeting them if they're not on a free hit, probably. Mm. So having in players like the Crystal Palace boys, having in players like potentially, who else have you got in there? The Aston Villa boys, the extra Aston Villa players. If you'd have put in Buendia alongside Watkins,
then I'd
have said that works really well because you're giving yourself the advantage in that spot. Having the double up in the Liverpool defence, that's giving you an advantage because at most probably people are going to get one.
So
anything that you can do outside of owning the heavily owned players, that's where you get your advantage. Taking everybody out just because you can, to me, isn't what I would do.
That is absolutely a good point to finish on. We've got to talk about captaincy in a second, but it's a good point to finish on because, yeah, look, I've changed nearly all my team. And actually, I'm saying, well,
you don't really want Trippier either.
I don't really want Trippier. So
you just Saka, really.
And even Saka, I said, well, I might do another Liverpool midfielder there. So I'm like making changes for the sake of it there. And I'm overthinking stuff, like selling, like not having Watkins, having Buendia instead. It's just bonkers, right? So, yes, classic bit of overthinking for me there, I think. So I'll probably, this will definitely change, right? Without a doubt, it will change.
But it should as well, because that's the point of the free hit, is that you have the opportunity to kind of make changes and look at what's happening with the players. And what happens with Liverpool tomorrow night is going to be really key.
It's going
to be really key to what we all decide to do with our teams. And to be fair, if Leeds turn up against Liverpool and actually play all right, then it might put them, Harrison, players like that, it might stick them back on our agenda and our radar. Because if you can go to Anfield and play well, then...
Most teams can, by the way.
Then maybe... Well, we're coming here in a few weeks to smash you up. Kane's going to get a hat-trick just because you hate him.
I don't hate him. I just don't think he's... I just think there are better options in 32, that's all.
I'll remind
you. Who are you thinking for captaincy then? Harry, obviously.
No, I'm probably going to captain Salah. I am tempted by Jesus, I must admit. But, and to be fair, Gabriel Martinelli, but the midfielder slot. So I, in an ideal world, if Haaland wasn't around, I like captaining a midfielder because you have that opportunity for the clean sheet point, the extra points for the goals and all of that kind of stuff.
And Salah really should get those this time around. He should be getting goals. He should be getting a clean sheet against Nottingham Forest as well. I think Gabriel Martinelli, I think Gabriel Jesus are both contenders. I think Kane will get one, but I don't think, I think the others could outscore him. And I think Ollie Watkins could go on and have a riot again.
But if I had to narrow you down to one route, yeah, I think when I'm bus capting in, when I'm setting it up tonight, I think I'll have it on Salah.
I think you I think, you know, he's got the
Forest,
he's got the best fixture on paper. When Liverpool have been poor, Salah has not been. And I think that's the way that I kind of look at the captaincy this week. I think
I would really like us to get a pen tomorrow.
But why?
Because then we'll know.
You want him to miss it again?
We'll know whether he's on penalties going forward.
Well, there was
and
a
if
chat,
he is, then he's got a chance of hopefully scoring it. Mm. And if he does, he'll get that monkey off his back and he'll be on pens for next week. Then he probably is a lock on the captaincy. So I would like to know that bit of information on the back of tomorrow's game. But we might not get a pen, so let's see. Let's see.
Yeah.
So there we go. Lots still to be discussed. This is very much going to change. I'm almost certain that Ollie Watkins is going to be part of this team. And probably... possibly with Buendia. I still quite like Buendia, but like you say,
but
I think that's it's a with Watkins,
that's
isn't it,
what
rather
you do.
Than instead of.
That's exactly what you do. That's what, that is exactly what the free hit is supposed to be. It's about keeping the ones that everyone's got and giving yourself an advantage by teaming them up with players that could do really well.
Yeah. All right, very good. What's coming up this week, Sam? Let people know which podcasts and stuff we're going to be on.
You're on Off the Bench this week.
I am. Tuesday, right?
On Tuesday, yeah, because obviously there's the Liverpool game on Monday evening, so you'll be able to catch Lee. Who are you on with?
Don't know.
Did you not read the call sheet?
I don't know.
I can't remember who I paired you with. Hang on.
You can look it up in a minute. So I'm on Off the Bench podcast on Tuesday. You're going to be on the official fantasy podcast on Thursday, correct?
Yeah, so on Off the Bench, Lee and Harry!
Oh, very good. What a good podcast that will be.
That will be a great pod with Lee just slating Chelsea every 5 minutes and Harry getting upset about it. We'll be reviewing...
I'm sure we'll be able to have a dig about Liverpool after we lose to Leeds tomorrow.
Well, let's see. Lee and Harry will be reviewing game week 31. and then on Thursday, Kelly, Jules and I will be previewing game week 32 and looking at the best free hit teams as well as the best players to target with your transfers if you don't have a free hit. There'll be a normal Ohana podcast, as always, on Friday. We'll try and put out some voice notes, of course, during the week as well, so that we can kind of
talk you through our developing
free hit chips. But obviously, it's a Friday night deadline this week, so don't forget that.
Ah,
yes,
right, okay.
Arsenal versus Southampton is on Friday evening. So don't forget that. Going into this week, obviously, you need to make sure that your team is locked and loaded, ready for Friday night. Don't miss it. And don't forget to activate your free hit if you are free hit.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to not hit the button and do a minus 44 cyber debt or whatever. Guys, thank you for joining us here on tonight's FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed to the channel. And we'll see you next week, next Sunday, when we'll know how our free hits have gone. And you can... say, told you so, when Harry Kane hits that hat-trick up at St James's Park.
Oh, I tell you something, there'll be me with my... I'll make sure that Harry Kane's shirt is up on the wall for next week.
Isaac, red card incoming. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.